following program is sponsored by Team Reba of RE/MAX Metro Eastside and Eric Osnes of Homebridge Financial Services. Welcome to Open House with Team Reba. Each week, Team Reba will be bringing you a roundup of real estate and mortgage news, along with information about the local Puget Sound region, highlighting some of the best and brightest entertainment options, family events, neighborhood highlights, and local business interviews, so you can feel right at home in the Pacific Northwest.
Welcome once again to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Reba Hass of Team Reba, RE/MAX Metro East Side.
And Eric Osnes here from Homebridge Financial Home Mortgage. Happy weekend.
Happy weekend back at you, mister.
Yeah. Just wrapped up a good first-time home buyer class.
Yes.
Nice to be running those again, the kind of our fall schedule.
Yes, and I'm glad. I mean, I know we've been able to do them in person again, but we haven't had a lot of them yet this year because of still, you know, one, busy schedules, but two, just, you know, a lot of people are still kind of reluctant. So we don't want to, you know, we want to make sure we can fill the room, so to speak, and all of that. But it's... good fodder for today's show. Some of the things that came up.
Education is so important in this industry. And there's so much misinformation out there about how the whole real estate industry works and the lending industry. And
every time we do the class, people come up with questions that sometimes you and I are like, wow, these questions are still out there. And every once in a while, they throw a new curveball at us.
Oh, sure.
Right? But that's why it's always great to have done one of those courses and then come back to do the show, because we can bring a lot of what happens back to anyone listening here so that they get that same education.
That's right.
Right. They're not in the class getting the certificate and all that, but you're still getting some of the great little tidbits that you can use in your own personal life.
Oh, for sure.
And and the thing is we know our listenership for the show isn't just here in Washington State, right? Like, we've got a lot of listeners around the United States. And again, hello, Pennsylvania and Ohio. We love you. We don't know why
Not sure why you're listening to us.
I know.
But thank you.
I wish you would reach out and like say hello sometime. Like, I invite you to do so. And those of you, I have been wondering. I've had a lot of Germans trying to contact me on my LinkedIn recently, and we do have some listenership in Germany.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if that's part of it. I'm like, because I need to, I haven't yet taken the time, because a lot of them send me messages in German and I need to go translate them and see like what these messages are that people are sending me, because they might be doing it.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Yeah. So I just think it's the best thing.
That's awesome.
So anyway, so a lot of this show is going to be about some of those topics that came up, which many of them really are around lending, that process of lending. What can I, what can't I do, right? What's reasonable to do? How does the interaction between real estate agents and loan officers actually work?
Right. It's a great topic.
Yeah. So many, because there, you and I keep, because we've been doing this together for so long, you know, we just, we know what the relationship is and we know what the rules are. Right. So, so we're going to bring a lot of those points today to this, you know, this venue, because we just want you to know, because a lot of what is true between me and you, as you know, like, I, it's always so weird because I never even know what to call you. I call you like my lending partner.
Sure.
But the reality is you and I don't actually have any business affiliation.
Correct. We don't work for the same company. We have no agreements whatsoever. Matter of fact, those types of agreements are not legal.
Right.
There's rules passed. It's the Real Estate Settlement and Procedures Act that says that I can't give you something of value. You can't give me something of value, you know, for a referral.
Yeah, you haven't been valuable yet. Well, I'm joking.
I'm talking about monetary value.
Yes, we can't. Yeah.
My knowledge is invaluable. So there you go.
Right.
But it's, in fact, I just completed, once a year I have to complete a whole ton of continuing education. I have to do 8 hours overall of continuing ed. I also have to do an hour for Washington State, 2 hours Oregon, 1 hour California, 2 hours Hawaii, 2 hours Arizona, 1 hour Florida, because I'm licensed all across the West Coast, Arizona, Florida, Hawaii. And you know, so it's like almost a full week of just continuing ed. But there are lawsuits after lawsuits and actions after actions against not only real estate agents, but also loan officers that are breaking those rules.
Yeah.
And to me, a single transaction or even a bunch of them is not worth my career.
Oh, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
So, yeah. You know, but to become a loan officer, you know, I have to, you know, take all the continuing education. I have to be licensed. I do not have to carry Arizona Missions insurance. I cannot be a convicted felon. Well, just not convicted of fraud.
Right. Well, I mean, that's true in real estate, too.
I mean,
we have to have fingerprint checks and background checks.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Same stuff.
So, of course, we've got, you know, we're dealing with people's lives and thousands of dollars. It's important that we're on the up and up.
Yes.
And not every loan officer is out there, unfortunately, and not every real estate agent is, unfortunately.
Right.
Some knowingly, some not knowingly.
Yeah, I'll give you even, and when we say knowingly, like, they're not... I don't want to misrepresent, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like, I want to go screw people. But I will tell you, I think, you know, like I have a CARE philosophy, which is conduct, advocacy, representation, and excellence.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons I don't like to look at the consideration of dual agency is because I don't feel like I can advocate properly 100% for both parties if, you know, I have a duty of confidentiality. Like the agency laws require me to have a duty of confidentiality. So if I have a seller telling me a bunch of stuff and a buyer telling me a bunch of stuff and those are in conflict.
Right.
That's a dicey place to be.
It is. You have to be Switzerland in that circumstance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that can be difficult for people to understand also. And I'll have people who'll say to me, well, don't you want to bring the buyer so that you can do this? I'm like, well, except for not every buyer has your best interests in mind. So how would you like me to play that if that happens? Right. But I'm going to give you another example of what you were talking about with the loan officers. I have a friend of mine who, I'll be honest, I'm actually kind of rethinking my friendship with this person. Well, because we were talking and I had forgotten that he also has a lending background.
Mm-hmm.
And he will only do transactions where he gets both the lending and the real estate side of things. He will only do lending for his own clients.
Mm.
And to me, I think you also have a conflict of interest because if all of his compensation is tied up in you making sure that you close,
right,
he's going to damn well make sure that you close,
it,
whether it's the right decision for you or
and
not.
And it opens the window to so many areas of abuse.
It does.
There. Yeah,
it sure does. People are going to push towards things that may or may not be the right fit.
Right.
And I know a lot of you will be listening to this and saying, well, I would never do anything that I don't want. But here's the thing. I have recognized the entire time I've been in this industry that we are not looked upon necessarily as a, you know, a very worthy occupation.
Mm.
Lots of people want to get in because they think they can make a lot of money. Mm. But what does that mean? That means a lot of people are looking at you as a dollar sign and as a transaction and not as a human being.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
And so our CARE philosophy with Team Reba was put in place 20 years ago. Conduct, the C on that, conduct came up because I listened to some other agents saying those horrible things like buyers are liars and sellers are worse. And I was horrified, just absolutely horrified. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, I can't even begin to imagine like why you would say something like that. But oh my gosh. And I called it out in meetings, you know, or if I ever heard anyone say it. I saw another agent on the other side of a transaction bad mouthing her client like to just horrible degrees. Calling her crazy and stupid and a number of things. And this is a woman who had a traumatic brain injury and she was mostly stressed and it would show up in certain ways. And this woman was violent. Like I had a list of ethics issues, laws that she broke.
Yeah.
MLS rules that she broke.
She should have been talking about it in public, period.
Well, she was talking to me about it.
Okay. Doesn't matter.
Are you a party to the transaction? Yeah, I am.
Oh, you were.
I was the other side of the agent.
Oh, you're on the other side. Oh, my
gosh. I was on the buyer side.
Oh, that makes it even
worse. And she was the seller. I know.
Yeah.
And that's why my CARE philosophy came to be. That one agent started a whole new movement for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was so new into this industry, and I was like, this place is broken.
Mm-hmm.
This business is broken in the way that it's conducted.
I've been in it longer than you even, you know, 35 years. You can't believe how things have changed.
Oh, yeah.
There used to be, when I started, there were no buyer's agents.
Right.
In fact, everybody represented the seller, all mm-hmm. agents.
Yes.
And then when there finally came buyer's agents into the industry, mm-hmm. a lot of the listing agents would not even show the house to a buyer's agent. They refused, you know, because they didn't want that representation. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people don't understand that now, even from our class.
Yeah.
You know, you're driving down the street and you see a really mm-hmm. cool house. There's a sign out front says Remax on it. Mm-hmm. And you call the phone number.
Because it's my sign.
It's your sign. you call the number on that mm-hmm. sign, you know, ring, yep. ring, this is Reba.
I just received one of those the other day.
I saw this house you've got for sale. Mm-hmm. It's really cool.
Yeah.
You know what? I just won the lottery. And mm-hmm. but I want to see if I can get the price down about maybe $50,000.
Ding, ding, ding. You just hit on my confidentiality.
So now you... Mm-hmm. Because your sign is out front, represent
the seller.
Mm-hmm. And you have an obligation now
yeah.
to tell the seller, hey, they're going to make mm-hmm. an offer on this place. They're going to lowball
it. But I know
it,
they have a lot.
But they just won the lottery.
Yeah.
And guess what? That's your obligation to do that because that's who you represent.
Correct.
And a lot of folks don't understand that sign out front, that's the listing agent. If that home is for sale, you do mm-hmm. not have to buy the home through that person. You right. can hire your own agent.
But let me put some more context on that though, okay, Eric? Because we have a very diverse population here. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have come from other places. And we've talked about this. In most other parts of the world, buyer agency is not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so like that phone call that I got the other day, that person's not originally from here.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is commonplace to call the listing agent because in places like India, Panama, Mexico, Paris, you know, that's who you have to call.
Right.
Because they don't have this. We changed to buyer agency when consumer protection laws were starting to really come into play at the late 80s, early 90s, mm-hmm. right?
Correct.
And so... This was part of the thing. Agency is actually a big topic. Maybe we'll throw in some conversations around agency and not just the lending environment. But that's a huge conversation going on right now inside of real estate. And it is something we had to bring up at the class because guess what? Now that listing agent isn't always going to be offering a buyer agent
right.
commission.
Things
either.
Are changing.
And October 3rd is when
Open
it starts.
House with Team Reba on AM 1300. The Answer. Back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Eric Osnes here from Homebridge Financial Home Mortgage.
And Reba Hass from Team Reba.
And we're here every Saturday at 2 o'clock.
Sundays at 3.
And always on podcast.
Yes.
How many episodes of podcast do we have now?
Over 270. I think we're close to 280 now.
Seven years.
September 15th.
Yes.
Yeah. We just had an anniversary, baby. Where's my gift? I know we can't do like items of value, but that's a different thing. That's
that's separate.
Where's my flowers? Where's my wine? I want to be wined and dined.
Yeah. it's been fun. It's been a nice long run, and there's so much content out there and so many
yes.
things we've talked about, and so much has changed in mm-hmm. 7 years.
Oh, I know. Well, I actually have my team right now reformatting some of our content so that we can create like different, you know, like batches of content so that we can send it out to our client base and all the people who are on our mailing list.
Yeah.
And listeners, if you want to be on our mailing list for things like this, send an email to info@teamreba.com and we'll get you on the mailing list.
Yeah, because if you have a question about anything in real estate mm-hmm. or finance, chances are we've talked about it.
Yeah. And the reason why the show can continue is because, as you and I both know, there's tons of changes all the time.
It's constant.
It's not static.
That's
yeah.
right.
At
that's
all.
Right.
So, you know, that's why this show can remain relevant because we're bringing up as things adjust. Like if you go back and listen to us from our very first show to today, it's very different, mm-hmm. right? You can get a history of all the interest rates because you've been regularly giving updates. Mm-hmm. You'll hear what's happening in the marketplace, things that's happened around insurance, everything that's happening, you know, with the housing market. I mean, just so much great, relevant content. Mm-hmm. You know, I absolutely love doing this. So anyway, before we went on the break, we were kind of touching on this agency thing. I don't want to get away from all the things, though, that still are about the lending part, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But I do want to just finish up that point around October 3rd is when a very big change for the Northwest Multiple is happening in terms mm-hmm. of documentation.
Right.
And so our listeners should be listening to this very closely if you're going to be involved in a real estate transaction. Because there are some business models out there that are not offering. So I want to go back to that historical, what is agency and how is it developed, right? And so around the 90s, they decided to say, yeah, we can say that a buyer agent no longer is actually, you know, working for the seller just because compensation is there, right?
Let's clarify that.
Yeah.
So the way it's structured now.
So let me refresh. If someone just only didn't hear the first segment, I want to refresh. So it started out, what would happen is one person would get a listing and they would go run around trying to find somebody to buy that place.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So they would earn just the one commission. So that was the thing, is the commission was, or the, you know, the fee was that person negotiating with the seller, like, this is the maximum amount you will pay.
Right.
Right. Well, then we had buyer, you know, other agents around the area who might have a pool of buyers. And so a listing agent could then, in cooperative brokerage, like through the MLS, multiple listing service here, could say, hey, I'm going to advertise, like, I already have a listing agreement and I'm going to take a portion of what my fee structure is. And I'm going to offer that to any other agents who might also have a buyer. Because mm-hmm. what they're doing is they're opening up the pool of more available buyers.
Right.
Because
right.
maybe they don't have as many buyers, or they don't have anyone looking for that particular house. Because houses are very unique.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's, lending potential is not the same. Mm-hmm. So right. It's not one size fits all, right? This isn't the Gap in a t-shirt. So buyer agents could find somebody knowing they could get paid by bringing this person mm-hmm. to help do the deal, right? But that person was still representing the seller because the seller was paying the fee.
Right.
But consumer protection laws changed that. And they said, no, that person doesn't have to owe a duty to the seller. They can still represent their client, even though there is a negotiated fee to be paid through the listing agent. Because it's the seller making the decision with the listing agent. And the listing agent gets to determine how much is offered.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But they disclose that to their seller.
Right.
Like what that amount will be.
Right.
Right. So everybody knows you're staying above board. So then recently, because there are some new business models and there are some very large Department of Justice lawsuits that are ongoing right now, our Northwest Multiple Listing Service is one of the most forward-thinking ones out there. We have some of the best technology. We have some of the best minds. We have some of the best rules in the entire United States. Most mm-hmm. people are very unaware of this. So I sat in on the Battle of the Barristers class recently, because like you were talking about CE hours for you, right. I have to have continuing education mm-hmm. also.
Right.
And I'm usually overextending on that.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in the business 20 years. I've got 40 years of credit hours.
Right.
Right.
That's good.
So,
that's
good. Yeah, because I believe that's also part of my representation and excellence for a client and my care philosophy, because I should be the best at what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So in the class, they talked about this history. So in 2008, a lawsuit began. And that was a DOJ thing. There was a 10-year period for that to be monitored. That ended in 2018. And then two other class action lawsuits, one on behalf of sellers, one on behalf of buyers, came in. And now there's also some business models that say, hey, we should separate who pays what. Now, that has not taken hold fully in the industry, but our local MLS. So if you are a person who is going to be involved in a transaction coming up, there is a new line item 16 on the purchase and sale agreement that will have what is the compensation being paid to a buyer's agent.
And by who pays it, right?
Typically on the front, that's going to be, Yes, there is that line item, if I remember correctly, because those documents aren't out just yet.
Right.
They are, I'm taking a class coming up on it. That is saying what this, what it's coming from, like seller side of net proceeds. Now there is another form provided. I believe it's a 41C, but that one is going to be if a seller does not have in an agreement with a listing agent a fee structure that they can request funds from the sale. Because here's where it gets super dicey. You know this on the lending side. A lot of loan programs won't allow for a buyer to pay some of those fees, VA in particular.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's thrown a big new monkey wrench inside the process. And it's also what I enjoy about it is it now is going to require buyers, only 10% of local buyer agents ever get a signed buyer agency agreement with their clients. And shame on them for not doing it if you're in that 90%. That's a whole bunch of you out there.
Right. This is something where home buyers, I don't know how if you realize how good you've had it because you hire your own buyer's agent.
Yeah.
That buyer, you don't have to pay them up until
not
now.
Not directly.
Up until now, not directly. So that, in other words, that buyer's agent is paid.
But now you might.
By the seller. So, you know, in a typical scenario, the whatever commission the seller agrees to pay, if it's 5% or something like that, half of that goes to the listing agent, half goes to the buyer's agent. Buyer doesn't have to pay anything. Buyers are already strapped to coughing up the money for down payment, closing costs, reserves for property taxes, insurance, HOA dues, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
If we have to add on top of that, that they have to pay their buyer's agent commission, which can be 2.5%, whatever it's going to be,
3%. It's whatever they're going to negotiate.
It's whatever's
like,
negotiated.
I can't talk about percent. I mean, it's always been negotiable.
It's not a set amount.
Right.
That's going to be a huge burden when they've got to fight just to come up with their 5% or 3% down payment.
I've been predicting for years that this one was coming and that two, it's going to change the industry.
Yeah, we've talked about this for years.
1.6 million realtors, not just real estate agents, realtors, people membership oriented. And so there's more agents than there are even just realtors, right? So maybe there's like 200 or 2 million. You know, I'm going to take a wild stab at that.
Yeah.
But we know of 1.6 million, right? Yeah. And if the vast majority of them have never had these conversations or they've been trying to say, hey, you get my services for free. Okay, first of all, that's probably about to change. And what I love about it, though, is like Annie Fitzsimmons, who's the attorney for Association of Realtors of Washington. I love it because she just puts it out there and she's like, look, you're going to have to you're going to have to be able to speak to the value that you bring to your client. And I can't wait. You know, I'm excited about this. I can't wait for the number of people who are going to fall out of the business.
Right.
Because they don't know how to have that conversation. We've had 10 years
that will happen
of, you know, appreciating, like high appreciation on houses. And so people have just jumped into the industry because they see what they think are going to be their incomes. And, you know, you and I have this happen every class that we do. I ask everyone, like, how many of you think every real estate agent makes a six-figure income? And every single hand has gone up for years. And it's not true. The vast majority of agents either don't sell a single house a whole year or they practically live at poverty level.
Right.
I had a gal the other day that it's another one of those, like, I wanted to look at her and just say, please leave the industry. Because she does a small number of transactions. And as she put it, she goes, well, my husband makes enough money. I just really like helping people. So, and I'm like,
You're not helping if you don't know what you're doing.
Exactly. If you're only doing it here and there and you're not always up on top of all the, you know, rules changes, the forms changes. Someone seriously the other day, Eric, I was in a negotiation on my Bothell listing. And I kid you not, I had three people I was negotiating with, three different agents. And the guy who got the deal called me up and he's like, so, because we were in a counter situation with one of those agents.
Yeah.
And he's like, so how exactly does it work when we're in a, when you're in a counter? Like, can I put an offer in?
Oh no.
You look at my, I wish our listeners could see my face. I mean, cause I was sitting with this like I was in the middle of something. I was like planning for that boat trip that I had, right? And I'm sitting there with the person I'm doing my planning with, and he can hear all the conversations. And I got off the phone. He's like, I could not do your job. He's like, yeah, between how my clients were reacting, the three different agents and all the conversations, he's like, you're part psychologist, aren't you? And I'm like, and also coaching and training people who don't know what they're doing.
Right. Yep. You have that big black sofa in your living room.
Can you imagine? No. Can you imagine that guy trying to explain his value to his clients?
Okay, let's explain something though, because there's different levels of real estate agents, and there's also different levels of real estate companies.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of companies where you can hang your license cheap. There. They'll charge you $150 a month or whatever it is, mm-hmm. and they give you zero support, zero training, or zero monitoring. Education, zero monitoring. You're just on your own.
And that's not how the industry is supposed to be.
I know it's not, but unfortunately,
it
is.
That's how it shows up.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. We've got more Open House with Team Reba coming right back at you.
Yeah, we'll show right back up.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Open House with Team Reba on AM 1300. The Answer. Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Reba Hass of Team Reba, Remax Metro Eastside, and I've calmed down from that last segment.
Good, good, good. Not so red in the face now. I'm Eric Oz is here from Homebridge Financial Home Mortgage. So, and Reba, if people do want to talk to you, how can they reach you?
Well, they can, if you want to email me to set an appointment, you can do that at info@teamreba.com. Or if you would like to text or call me, you can do that at 206-457-2984. I'm trying to say that very slowly in case you're trying to write it down. I do that on purpose because I'll tell you what, even though I know how you give your number, which you'll do here in a second, I'm going to say mine one more time because this is one of my things when people leave voicemail. 206-457-2984. I'm going to repeat it because I get people who call me for your number.
Really?
Yes.
Do you want me to sing it?
I don't know if that would make any difference.
Okay. Here it is.
I'm just telling you, I've had multiple times where people have called me from the show and said, hey, that guy you do the show with, I need his number. And I'm like,
that bald guy.
Okay. I'm not your secretary.
All right. Well, you can reach
me. But I love that they're calling. Absolutely. We want our listeners to do business with us. So I mean, there you go.
For real estate, you call Reba. For finance questions, you call me.
And your number even includes
Eric.
Your name.
Yeah, that's right. And it's 206-915-ERIC, E-R-I-C.
I know your number better than my number.
Or 206-915-3742. I've had that number a long time.
Yes. Well, it's also one of the reasons I always have to go back and look at my number at times because I give your number out more than mine.
That's hilarious.
Right?
Oh, man. Well, you can email me also, Eric.
I have accidentally given your number out.
Have you?
I remember giving it to someone. I'm like, oh, wait, oh, no, don't. Like, he
every
won't
now
be
and
surprised.
Then I will, hey, I get this. I do get these calls. Yeah, I'm interested in this house on 35th Avenue. And it's like, well, I can finance it. I can't sell it to you. But you can email me also, eric@ericismybanker.com, E-R-I-C, Eric with a C.
Yeah.
And look us up on social media as well. Eric is my banker. You'll find
me
there.
And Team Reba Real Estate.
That's right. That's right.
You will find us.
Or you can meet up with us on October 24th. That's a Monday night.
Yes.
For the Bite the Apprentice. I mean,
we're not biting an apprentice. Gosh.
So you should come to this is going to be a lot of fun. So the American Culinary Federation and Washington State Chefs Association is putting on the Bite of the Apprentice October 24th at the Bell Harbor Conference Center, downtown Seattle, down on the water.
Yes, our friend Chef Tony Parker.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, so that's going to starts at 6 o'clock. It'll run till about 9.
Yes.
If you want to stay the whole time. And you get to sample all sorts of appetizers.
Yes. We're going to be judges.
Yes.
Or part of the panel of judges. I'm so excited. Yeah. We've had Chef Tony Parker on several times because of the culinary programs that they have at Renton Technical College. But he's got multiple other businesses, and then he's always doing, you know, events like this. He's just he's
a great guy.
He's so fantastic.
Tony Parker, and he runs an amazing program.
He's got a great sausage business. Like, it's so many things. And a pizza thing that he's doing.
Ice carving.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like an event center at his home now.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to do an event soon.
That'll
because he got that started this year and has done a wedding there now. And I think he did one other kind of like open house for, you know, certain.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
so I'm excited to go see it.
So mark it down October 24th. That's a Monday night, 6:00 PM, Bell Harbor Conference Center. And all the proceeds go to the WSCA apprenticeship program. You're helping mm-hmm. these students. They need support.
Yes.
They need uniforms. They mm-hmm. need knives.
Yes.
They need those funny hats they wear.
Yeah, actually, they do.
All of that stuff is important.
That's a real thing
for these kids. And these are the ones that are going to be cooking your food down the road at some of the best restaurants around.
Yeah, let's keep that in mind too, because when we had the pandemic hitting hard, it was restaurants that really got decimated. And right now, we still see a lot of restaurants struggling for staffing. And so, mm-hmm. anyone who is interested in having this as a career, let's support them.
Absolutely.
You know, you and I are both foodies. We love going out to eat. We love supporting local restaurants. And I absolutely am a huge fan of, you know, supporting programs like this, because that is, I mean, we're sitting here talking about our work, but that's some hard work.
It is.
It's a physically demanding, emotionally demanding. There's
lousy hours.
Yeah.
You name it.
Yeah. I mean, people do it because they're passionate.
Yeah. These kids are really something. They're so fun to watch, too.
Yeah.
It's really, really fun.
Yes. Yeah,
so. I'm excited to be a judge or one of the judges on that. That's going to be great.
I'm so thrilled that he called and asked for us to do that. I was just like, the second he called me and was like, hey, would you be? I'm like, heck yeah. He was like, do you think Eric would? I'm like, oh, yes.
Oh, big time.
Have you seen how that
man
eats?
Are you kidding me? No, this will be fun. This will be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. I'm super excited.
Awesome. In other news, good news, mm-hmm. loan limits are going up.
Yeah. So that's right. Yes.
This is a good thing. Every year mm-hmm. around Thanksgiving,
and we need it.
Usually on Black Friday, mm-hmm. the loan limits for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are announced. And this year, our company, Homebridge Financial, as well as several others are, how do I put this? We're jumping the gun. So we're coming out ahead of it. And we have already increased our loan limits. So the maximum conforming loan limit went up almost $65,000 to $715,000.
Mm-hmm.
So now that's what's called a conforming loan limit. It's going to be that same limit throughout Washington State. However, mm-hmm. if you're in King, Pierce, or Snohomish counties, there'll be an additional limit, which is even higher. That's considered a high cost area. And there's a separate set of limits for King, Pierce, and Snohomish County. Now, we're not going to know those numbers until usually it's Black Friday, day after Thanksgiving. So for now, you know, the conventional limit's already been increased, at least with Homebridge, to $715,000. That's important mm-hmm. because a conventional conforming loan gives you the lowest down payment options available, 3% down if you're a first-time home buyer. Mm-hmm. as well as some of the better interest rates available out there and a little bit easier underwriting as well. So good news on the front for that. One other loan limit that went up, an income limit. There's a first-time homebuyer program called Home Ready. And Home Ready is a Fannie Mae program that gives you access to, again, lower down payments, 3% down, mm-hmm. But also reduced costs for PMI, mortgage insurance.
Mm-hmm.
To be eligible for the program, you do have to take first-time homebuyer class, and we'll be scheduling some additional classes coming up here.
Mm-hmm.
But those programs have an income limit. So King, Pierce, Snohomish counties, that income limit has been increased about $10,000 to $99,680. So if you earn $99,680 or less, mm-hmm. we can put you into these programs. You'll actually get favorable interest rates, reduced costs for PMI, put 3% down. Other counties have slightly lower loan limits, mm-hmm. So it's really important you know where you're buying. I've had that situation come up before. Somebody gets pre-approved.
Oh, yeah.
Saying they're going to live in King County, and then they find this beautiful home in Kitsap County.
Right.
Well, Kitsap's got a different loan limit, $82,000 versus $99,680. Big difference there. Thurston County, 82,800.
That's the loan limit?
I'm sorry, income limit. Income limit.
I was going to say, you said loan limit.
Oh, I'm sorry, income limit. So if you earn less than $99,680 for King, Pierce, Snohomish, you can use this program. In Kitsap County, you got to earn less than $82,000. Thurston County, you got to earn less than $82,800. Mason County, you got to earn less than $63,680. These income limits are based on the median income levels for those counties. So it does vary, you know, county by county. Those are the only ones I wrote down right now.
That's no, which is fine. But you know what? Again, giving context to some of that increased loan limit.
Yeah.
The good. What was the loan limit in those other counties?
The loan limit is $715,000 for all the state. Yeah.
Did you not say that there was another amount on?
Yes, King, Pearson, Snohomish will also have a higher limit.
785.7 was that it?
No, it's going to be even higher. And right now, it's,
oh, you don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is yet. Okay. Currently, it's $841,250. But that's going to go up probably another, you know, 70,000, something like that.
Well, and that's important because we talked about this in last week's show when we were doing a bunch of the stats.
Mm-hmm.
In August, the average sale price for the entire MLS, which includes these higher price counties, was $809,743.
Right.
Right. Up 11% from last year.
The average price. So,
yeah.
And I know the median
was 650, but the average, I mean, like if you're in King, Snohomish, or Pierce, like,
people get confused about median price because the press gets it wrong a lot as well.
Mm-hmm.
All that means, median means that half the homes sell for more than that, half the homes sell for less than that.
Right.
So, you know, median just tells you what's the middle point. The average is probably more
accurate.
Realistic,
yeah.
You know, because that's what the average home is selling for.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a big number.
That's a really big number.
Now we know why we have all those bozo agents jumping in.
exactly.
Because think about that, right? Like, so you and I were just talking about, like, as working partners, referral partners, like, I don't get quote unquote referral fees or kickbacks or whatever somebody wants to attempt to try and call it.
No.
But like, I was just telling you earlier that on a client I'm working with, it's not uncommon for agents when they're referring people to other agents. I have a client I'm working with right now. I'm having to give 25% of the revenue that my company will generate off that sale to another agent who didn't even know the name of my clients because it's a relative of one of her clients.
Mm-hmm.
She gave my name to the sister who gave it to her sister who then made the effort to call me up. Like she didn't even bother to call and tell me who it was. Didn't even ask the sister, well, what are their names? And I let me do the introduction. She didn't do anything other than give my phone number out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I got a random text. I think I actually even read it on this show because it was like this random person like, hi, we'd like to buy a house. And I read it and was like,
who are you?
Is this spam? Like, who is this? I don't know who these people are, right? Like, it's and for that, for me having to figure out who it was, I will be providing 25% of my company's revenue to some other person.
So, you know, on the lending side, we couldn't even do that. So I can't pay a referral fee.
I'm just telling you, like, I really think this industry is so broken. Well, no, because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm in talks with my brokerage right now trying to come up with a different model.
Mm-hmm.
Because even the R and Z companies of the world have it wrong. Because you're a number to them.
Right.
Yeah, there was a thing I heard the other day. It says if you have a thing that you get for free, you're the sucker in that deal. Because someone's paying for it on the back end, right?
Oh, for sure.
Those things aren't free.
Nothing is free.
No.
Yeah. Sometimes the free things are the most expensive in the long run.
Yes, they are.
Well, we got more Open House with Team Reba coming right up. Stay tuned.
Open House with Team Reba on AM 1300. The Answer. Back to Open House with T. Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Eric Osnes from Homebridge Financial Home Mortgage.
And Reba Haas from Team Reba.
And we are here every Saturday at 2 o'clock.
And Sundays at 3.
And always on podcast.
Yes. Yes, so we are. Listen. So, yeah. So that's actually one of the best things about it is like if you're listening to the show and you're driving in your car, but you only have like a short little ride somewhere and you want to pick us back up, just go to any of your favorite podcast sites. You can even subscribe to the show.
Absolutely.
And you can be alerted every time we have a new show so you don't have to miss a single minute.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Hey, before I forget, I have on my notes one thing I wanted to talk about today.
Okay.
Many of you out there either have or are considering HELOCs, home equity lines of credit. And especially if you've got a mortgage right now that's got a great interest rate, you're in the threes or twos, something like that, you know, but you need money, you want to pull some equity out of your home, it might not be the best idea to refinance right now because then your whole loan balance goes up to a higher rate. Mm-hmm. So a HELOC can be a good option. Many HELOCs are variable rates. They're adjustable rates and they're tied to prime rate. We all know what prime rate's been doing this year.
Yes.
In fact, every time the Fed hikes rates, prime rate goes up in lockstep, you know, right along with it. But there are quite a few, well, not quite a few, but there are a few HELOC programs out there that are fixed rates. And those are worth considering. So if you are in need of a HELOC or even if you have one right now, if you have one right now, you can call your lender and it may be possible to convert your rate to a fixed rate. If you do that, though, what people don't understand is that your payment's going to change. Because if you're on a variable rate HELOC, most likely your payment is interest only. So your balance isn't going down at all if you just make the minimum payment.
Gotcha.
However, when you convert it to a fixed rate, it will, in 99% of the cases, convert to a 15-year fixed rate. So all of a sudden, you will have a fully amortizing loan payment. It's going to go up quite a bit. Because you're not only locking in a rate, which will be higher,
right?
But you're also now having to pay that balance, that portion of that balance off over a 15-year period.
You know what that reminds me
of? People don't know that. Huh.
Reminds me of the people who got the 10-year interest-only loans.
Yes, yes. If you have an interest-only loan, at the end of the interest-only period, it becomes fully amortizing.
Yeah. Which some of those loans were recently being used right before we had all the rates go up.
They're coming back.
Yeah.
Actually, as affordability is becoming a problem, we're seeing more interest-only options come into the marketplace.
Good thing we're bringing these things
up. I love it. Yep.
So that you're familiarized.
Absolutely.
And you recognize and you ask more and better questions.
That's right. Well, Homebridge, I mean, we've got a really cool HELOC. You know about it.
Yeah, I have it.
But it's blockchain. Mm-hmm. It's AI.
Artificial intelligence,
but it is a fixed rate.
Yeah.
And so you lock in your rate. You don't have to worry about Fed hikes, you know, down the road.
Which I like because I have a B of A HELOC too. And that one is one where I have a variable. I'm going to have to.
You can lock that one though, but that one would go to a 15-year fixed rate.
Once
you did that. But yeah, the blockchain is pretty crazy. It takes about 5 minutes. You fill out some information. It'll come back and say, okay, yep, you're good. You're good to go. Here's some options. There's a slider on our screen. You can pick your term anywhere 10 years out to 30 years and pick your interest rate. And just don't pick your nose because you're going to notarize your documents virtually with a virtual notary.
Yeah.
So you really want
which is super easy.
Yeah. So it's just,
it's kind of fun actually.
No nose picking during that though.
No, you're on camera and they are recording.
Absolutely. They are. You don't want to be on their blooper reel for the week.
Oh, I know, right? Like, oh, here's our team meeting. Like, oh, here's this guy. He didn't realize we could see him.
Guy's digging for gold over there. What's going on? But anyway.
Well, he was getting a loan, so he was still digging for gold.
That's right. More ways than one. So if you're thinking if you need a HELOC, call me.
I don't know why that makes me think of my brother, but yeah. Sorry.
Me too. Funny you mentioned that. Yeah. Anyway.
Sorry. I digress.
It's getting late. We're getting hungry. Good thing we've got that appetizer thing coming up here in the near future.
Yes. But, yes.
So you can always reach out if you have questions on that. Call me, Eric, 206-915. Eric, 206-915-3742.
Yeah.
We're there.
Okay. So We've got a little bit of time left. So we were going through a bunch of like the questions and misconceptions around lending that came up during our class.
Yes.
Right? Because we were talking about the relationship stuff. I was talking about agency, buyer agent, like, please, yeah, buyer agents are going to have to put you into a agreement, which I will tell you is going to make a lot of the consumer public uncomfortable because they haven't had to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was one of the things that you and I, part of why we decided to have some of these topics for the show is because of some recent experiences, people who were reluctant to make application because of misinformation, potentially, like thinking, oh, but if I put application in at multiple places and they pull my credit report, my
score, it's going to ding my score.
My credit score is going to get dinged.
Yeah.
Explain that again, just real quick. Because we had this happen because I got caught having to deal with a transaction, getting an offer in, and unfortunately had to spend some of your valuable time because I had sent these clients to you. Like they had already talked to one lender.
Right.
And that was a lender that just because they had a car loan there, they went to see about a home loan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the interesting part is they have their bank accounts somewhere else. So I was like, oh, that's interesting. You thought just because you got a loan over here that you liked the rate, but yet you had this bank over here. Mm-hmm. I was like, but I also knew about your 2-1 buy down and they were concerned about interest rates and how much they could afford. Mm-hmm. Right? And so we had this situation where they were reluctant to really like make the application forward, which then a month later, when we finally find the house they want, now we're scrambling because guess what?
The lender they originally,
of course, on a Sunday, and I spent 4 hours working on it, and then we couldn't even end up doing anything until a business day because we had to wait for that other person to come in.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, we had gone back to you because you had at least had conversations. And so, listeners, what I want to point out here is we're not like demonizing the client for this. It's because there's a lot of misinformation out there and people have a reluctance to, it's already painful to like have to do all this stuff. And I shouldn't even say painful. It's just necessary.
Mm-hmm.
People want to complain because it takes effort, but you know, to get a good thing, you have to put effort in.
Right.
So they didn't follow through. And there were a couple things they missed out on, and explain one of them, because in this market right now, while we're still clearing out some of the inventory, like even though inventory is shrinking again, we're going to get back into a supply demand issue.
Yep.
But there are some opportunities right now. Your company has that
lock and shop.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And just to clarify on the credit thing, many loan officers will try and scare you from shopping around, saying, oh man, if you shop around, they're going to pull your credit and it's going to hammer your credit score. So don't do that. That's, how do I say this? It's a
bogus
lie. Yeah. Because you can have an almost unlimited number of inquiries for mortgage related inquiries within about a 2 to 3 week window. It's not going to hurt your score. Outside of that, yeah, it could pull it down 5 points or so, something like that. So don't be cowed by that information.
So here's the tactic though for that.
Yeah.
Just make sure that when you're doing, just do it all at the same time. Don't
don't
onesie twosie
it.
Don't shop around, like get your information and then go make your
and
applications.
And rates change every day, so make your comparisons on the same day.
Exactly.
And then you'll have an apples to apples way of looking at it.
I had that same conversation with that client while I was dealing with that on a Sunday. They're like, well, I don't really like the rate. I'm like, well, first of all, it's on the weekend, so we don't even know if that's going to still be the rate tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondarily, like, you know, it's, you don't even lock your rate until you're in contract.
Unless you lock and shop, and we can lock you for up to a year. And if rates fall,
there you go.
Before then, you can float down to a lower rate.
There you go.
I wish these folks did that a month ago.
I know, because you told me that it would have saved them possibly as much as 1%.
Significantly.
Yeah.
It would have really made a difference for them.
It helps to have real conversations right up front and not wait till you're in crunch time.
Right.
Right. We like to say it's good to go slow before you go fast.
Right. Yeah.
And that means do your due diligence up front, have those things in place, know the different options that are available to you. And then that in that moment when you need to pull a trigger, you can do so confidently instead of like the angst ridden day that I had all day Sunday with them, going back and forth and with the other agent. And because here's the thing, another offer was on the way.
Right.
Nothing worse.
Always on a Sunday. It's the way it goes.
Yeah. So anyway, well, you might be listening to this on a Sunday, but it comes out on a Saturday. But we want to thank you for spending your valuable time with us here on Open House with Team Reba.
We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Open House with Team Reba. To contact us, visit Team Reba at REMAX Metro Eastside on Facebook or email info@teamreba.com. Join us again next Saturday afternoon at 2 for more Open House with Team Reba. The preceding program was sponsored by Team Reba of REMAX Metro Eastside and Eric Osnes of Homebridge Financial Services.